will, look with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I know that this past Sunday we read this particular portion of Scripture in our morning worship, but it fits so plainly with the message that we're going to consider this evening from 1 Samuel 17. About two representatives, one in Goliath and the other in David. And here in Romans 5, the representation is with Adam, the first man, and Christ, the last man, as far as representation. Salvation and condemnation are by representation. That's the clear message of Scripture. But let's read this together, and I'll make some comments as the Lord directs. May He prepare our hearts to hear His Word. Now, verse 1 actually goes back to Romans 4:25, speaking of the death of Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for, or because of, our justification. So when Christ died, it was to put away the sin. And when He was raised, not only sin was put away, but those for whom Christ died were declared just, righteous, then and there. And that's where verse 1, chapter 5 begins. Therefore, being justified. Now remember, in the original, there are no punctuation marks. So this is the way it should be read. Therefore, being justified, and if you want to put a comma there, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is that revelation of Christ and His death and what He accomplished to the heart, whereby sinners for whom He died have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, again that body of truth concerning Christ and His death, we have access by that faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You say, well, where does the tribulation come? It comes from the flesh that's within us. It comes from the world that stands opposed to God and His Christ, His anointed one. It comes from Satan, who would sift the Lord's people as wheat. But as Christ said to Peter, I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Who was Peter's faith? It was Christ. And when thou art converted, it shows the need of being converted every day, every moment. That's what these tribulations are all about, causing us to turn away from any hope in the flesh to Christ alone. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. It must be a glorious work then if that tribulation causes us to see our need again and again, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When we pray, Lord, grant me patience, well, it comes with tribulation, the opposition of this flesh, and patience experience, and experience hope. It's not a hope-so hope, but hope that maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That is the Spirit of God revealing Christ in the hearts of those who are objects of His love. I know we shirk from tribulation, but Scripture says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. So that's a good thing, to wean us from this world and any confidence in the flesh. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's how all of God's elect were described up to the cross. They weren't justified before the cross. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at the progression downward. Without strength in verse 6, sinners, verse 8, but much more than being now justified by His blood. I don't know how it can be any plainer. It's when Christ died that His people were justified. There wasn't any blood shed in eternity. It was at the cross. And being now, that's a time word, since the cross, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What a blessed hope that He bore that wrath that we would not bear it. There's not an ounce of wrath in God's chastenings. Whom He loves, He chastens. There's not an ounce of wrath in it. For if, notice here, when we were enemies, so what began in describing without strength goes down a level to yet as sinners, and here it puts the cap on it. Verse 10, when we were enemies, in our minds and hearts, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. There again, it shows there wasn't any reconciliation until Christ paid the debt. Up to that point, we were enemies. Being reconciled, it says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That is by His resurrection. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, and this should read, the reconciliation. Why the editors, translators, went back to the word atonement there is a puzzle, because it's the same word as you find up in verse 10, reconciled to God. Atonement is a covering. That's what the blood of bulls and goats was about. But Christ's death was a redemption. It was a propitiation. It was a justification. And it was a reconciliation. I've often said that to people who argue that, well, I believe Christ died for every single person in the world. Well, if you do, then you mean that what you're saying is He redeemed every single soul. He propitiated every single soul. He justified every single soul. He reconciled every single soul. If you believe that, you'd have to be a universalist. Hell would be shut up. There are some universalists that believe that. They say that He died for everybody, so there's no more hell. But read the Scriptures, we find there is. For some, but not for the Lord's people. I love the therefores and the wherefores. In verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, this is the representation, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. You've heard me say before that the trial's over. And this is the verse. That word passed means judgment rendered at some point in the past that continues upon all men. For that all have sinned. You could also read that all did sin. When Adam fell, this man right here, by one man, sin entered the world. All did sin in him. For until the law, sin was in the world. That's an interesting statement. When it says, until the law, it's talking about the Ten Commandments when the law was given to Moses, but sin was already in the world. But sin is not imputed where when there is no law. You say, where was the law? Well, it was in the garden. When God said, thou shalt not eat of the trees of a tree of knowledge of good and evil. people worried about obeying the Ten Commandments, our father Adam didn't even obey the first one. Let's try that. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even before the Ten Commandments. Death already reigned, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Notice, who is the figure of him that was to come? He was the figure in the sense that he was the representative of his race. But now, verse 15, as not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Here's the contrast. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, here it is, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Adam with his many, Jesus Christ with his many. The one received death and condemnation, the offense, but the other, the gift of grace and salvation. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Speaking by way of contrast, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. That's all that Adam passed on to his posterity, condemnation. But the free gift, and it's interesting the punctuation, because you think, well, a gift is free. But that's to make it plain, not conditioned upon the sinner. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. That shows that it wasn't given because of any good in the sinner. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification, pointing to that justification that Christ accomplished there at the cross. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, at one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The word righteousness means justification, satisfaction, shall reign in life. How? By one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That is certainly true. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The all men there in Adam, but here all men in Christ, all those who are in Christ, unto justification of life. That's the result. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, declared righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. But notice how, through righteousness. That grace has to be given in a righteous manner, that God might be just to justify. And so complete was the work of Christ that it says, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a precious portion of Scripture. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how plain it is. I ask forgiveness for how quickly we read through your word many times and don't pause to consider every word being inspired of your Spirit and how it is for the consolation, encouragement, and hope of every one of your children. As we meet here this evening and others gather with us over the internet, we're thankful, Lord, that you are calling out your sheep and that you are causing them to hear the voice of Christ. May it be his voice we hear and not mine. May I be as John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. Prepare our hearts to receive your word preached, even as we've heard it read and commented. Our songs, may it be to your honor and glory. And we're mindful to give you all the praise and honor and glory in our dear Savior I pray. Amen.